All right, don't at me, but the OG awkward black girl is as charming in person as she is on screen. I got Issa Rae on the podcast right after the musical break. Are you still having fun? It's a question that a lot of creatives will ask each other, and it's a question I've been asking among a lot of my friends, other black creatives who got their start around the same time as me. Are you having fun is our way of asking, did you get swallowed up by the machine yet? Did they suck your joy away? Just like everybody else, black creatives are trying to juggle, you know, self-care with doing what we love. And who better to talk about that with me than the fabulous, fabulous Issa Rae? Okay, motherfuckers. I mean, don't at me, listeners. We have a very, very special episode today, okay? She is a culture maker to the max. She is creating and starring in one of the most watched, talked about, and stand HBO series of all time, Insecure. She is also, as if that wasn't enough, the founder of her nonprofit, Issa Rae Presents. I'm just trying to see if I can get you to crack, but you're not. You're like,
what the fuck
strong.
Is that?
Miss Issa Rae.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to see like how much I could push
I was already
it.
Irritated with the extra yeah. amount of varies.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. I'm sorry. You know what? Here's the thing. This is what I respect about you. Because like you're a talent. Whatever. Got it. But you're also like, you're kind of a machine, Issa. Like when I went to your A Sip function.
So much fun.
There was like, you know, someone who like valeted my car. There was somebody who like got me a drink that like escorted me to the backstage.
Yes.
There were people who were organized correctly into their seats.
Yes,
there was a start. There was a step and repeat. You had an easy way to say goodbye to me. It was like perfect.
First of all, that's all team shit. That's team, which you know. That's
but here's my
shit.
Question for you. I didn't do none of that for you. This is a nondescript studio
first
location.
First of all, it was people in my seat. First of all, it was amazing.
First of all, people
in
were in your seat. There's food here, but it's mine.
Not for me. You've been mixing your oatmeal and I have been looking at it and
do
it looks delicious.
Do you feel disrespected right now? Or
if it were anybody else, I probably would. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm like, this is you and this is how you roll. So I can't feel the way, you know? I knew what I was walking into.
I'm inspired by you though. Like I'm trying to get on your level in terms of the story around the story. Like, what pushes that for you? Like, is it really... Because it seems to me like you came up in the community. Like, you know, the awkward black girl was such a community effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really, like, listened to your fans and spoke to them in a very, like, kind of organic way. Is this, like, a natural extension of that? Is that, like, always just been a part of your thing? Is, like...
It has. It's been more my friends. Like, you know, it's just been tapping into who's around me a lot because they've been the most honest and the most willing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, in that sense, yeah, Insecure is definitely an extension of that. There are still so many people who've been there since Awkward Black Girl who've been helping me and more people along that route. And that's just how I like to operate.
But you
forward.
Even do, like... You do so much more than Insecure. First of all, you're like in movies and TV shows and you're like famous or whatever. You're like super famous.
Please.
But I have to say, I mean, the thing is like I've told you this before. You're a star. So in my opinion, like that's like an innate thing about you, in my opinion. Like
Justin.
As long as you're out here in the world, people are going to want to put you in their things, okay? And give you a platform. But what you don't have to do is the nonprofit stuff. You don't have to do, like, you know, a sip through, like, a Patreon account that's, like, really teaching people how to, like, come up in the industry. You don't have to have all these other storytellers on deck, you know, with their podcasts, becoming TV shows. Like, you don't have to do any of that stuff. And I've heard from so many people, like, for real. So many people, like, oh, thank God Issa is there.
That's crazy.
Thank God, like, you know... Issa is a part of this production. Well, you know, I'm here because of Issa. So, like a lot of people, I'm telling you, I've heard that many times from very disparate people.
That's
okay?
amazing.
And where does that come from?
I think wanting those opportunities myself. You know how it's hard to come up just independently
it is,
and
but
not
I do
having
nothing
those...
for anyone. And that seems a lot
the
easier.
Fuck up, Justin. Like, and even watching you guys, your group. Like, I'm from LA, but like. You know, and I have my set of friends that are not even in the industry, that are just down.
Mm-hmm.
But coming up, like after Awkward Black Girl was done, seeing like Lena and Ben and you, like you seeing like the movie come about in that way, and then going to actually, like, I was bummed I couldn't see it at Sundance, but when I actually got to see it in theaters, it was just like, I just felt magical. And I was like, this is what it should be.
Right.
And like us helping each other, us making sure that the doors stay open, us educating each other, because like otherwise, as you know, like it'll fade. Like, it's so disgusting to see so many, like, execs are really, really excited about so many Black voices.
Yeah.
And it's really just about the money, and it's about the now. And it's like, there are eyeballs. And for me, it's like, if we don't build our own networks, if we don't build our own communities, then
it goes away.
And other people own it. Like, it's so crazy to me that they have the power to say, yes, okay, Black people, we want to hear you now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we want to hear your stories now, gay people, because they make money.
Yeah.
So, and we're just going to continue to make money off of that. So I'm just like, I want to build the foundations, and I want to build the entities that will be here for a very long time.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to do all that,
but
you do it.
But you...
Issa, take these nice things. Okay.
Thank you so much. Why did I come here?
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to torture you with really nice compliments. But it's real, though, because it's like, I don't know. With Bad Hair, I was able to have my people on set. Like, there was a group of people who were there just to learn. Like, just friends of mine were like, I want to see you put this feature together because I want to do da 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 da, and I'm working on this. Or there were people who were there because they read a draft of the script and like contributed. And like that felt like the best way to make a movie.
And it's fun
way.
It's fun when you have the people, your people with you.
Yeah,
it's
and they knew we were working.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, you can't have
we're at work.
The people that's like, we are. No, you can't do that. But like the people who know to have fun and also remain professional that's crucial.
Like, I remember there was this, we have a friend of ours, Yanni King, who's in the movie.
Oh, yes. Love me some Yanni.
And she just slayed. She slayed, like, one of her scenes or whatever. And the area where everybody's watching the monitors and stuff just burst out into applause for her. Because they just, you know what I mean? And, like, that's the kind of thing that doesn't happen on movie sets. But we get to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're at the beginning, you know?
And I think that's what's so special about it is, like, this feels like the different world days. This feels like, you know.
Except we're all friends. Well, not all of us, but a lot of us are friends.
A lot of us are friends. And like back in the day in the 90s, there was a lot of like obviously diverse television, but there was a lot of those creators, a lot of those showrunners were all about like, there's one spot.
Yes.
So, I'm sorry, I got to kick down this ladder.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry because
so,
I can
sorry
only,
about
yeah,
it.
You know, I wish you the best, praise you, but like, this is my time now. And it's just like, we all recognize that there are so many different lanes. There's a lot of room for everybody. And I think that's a significant difference.
I also feel like, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely as concerned with like my soul and stuff as I am with my career. It's like, I mean, I'm going to ask the question that I told you I was going to ask before we started recording, which is, are you having fun? Because that question to me has become the most important question.
Mm-hmm.
Like living a dream that's excruciating, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up to me. And I think I saw really early on how this could become, my dream could become something I just would hate.
Yeah.
If I went the way the industry sort of just wants to kind of put it together for me. So how are you feeling about that? Because you're a real busy girl.
The answer to that question is sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I really have to tell myself, like it's not that serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not doing rocket science at the end of the day. I'm not saving lives at the end of the day. Nobody's depending on me, and it's not like I don't need to kill myself to make something happen.
Right.
And I find different ways to make it fun, but there are certain times when I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to do this, but I want a break.
Yeah.
I want a break. And just because you can feel like everybody else is working five times harder than you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, it can get discouraging. Like, damn, am I not doing enough? Like, what the fuck?
Okay, you feeling that is crazy.
I feel
crazy.
That all the time.
It's
like,
crazy.
I'm just not getting enough done. And it's such a stupid feeling.
There's something weird about that feeling when you show up I mean, I've said this jokingly, but I totally meant it, where, like, television can sometimes be like getting beat to death with your own dream. Mm. That's also something I might have stolen from you. I don't remember. There was a quote, by the way, that I stole from you, but I wasn't sure. And in person, we decided Lena told it to both, but it was you.
It was me?
It was you, yeah.
What was it?
It was the idea that, like, you shouldn't look up, you should look around to build community.
Oh, you know what? It was me, but it was by way of Amy Aniobi.
Okay.
Everybody stole it.
We found the source. But, like, you know, I don't know. It really, I did feel like I was getting, there are times when I felt very much beaten to death by my own dream. And that is a worse kind of feeling than just not living your dream. Like, you're living it and it's not feeling good. Like, that's hard.
Do you go to therapy?
Oh, yes.
I feel like that's what I need. Because there's also, like, there's a time, like I said, I have a lot of my friends who, bless them, are there. But we're all in different industries. And I feel like there's some things that I can't talk to them about. There's some things I can't talk to anybody about.
Yeah.
And I just really feel like I need to take that
time. You can always talk to me.
You busy, nigga. What are you talking about?
I know, I am busy. But you know what? I will say this. Me and Lena both have the same thing because we're both busy. We don't get to see each other. But we do try to make sure we get a call in.
Yeah.
Just to talk that shit that, like, nobody will really understand. And it'll just kind of sound like, oh, you're complaining about your dream coming true.
I know.
But there is a lot to complain about.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stress to move through because we're in the business of making our dreams come true, but nobody else that we're in business with is in that business.
Yeah, this is very true.
They are in a different business. They are in a business that says, you got to churn this motherfucking product out, and we got to get people to see it because we got to sell ads around it. We got to sell subscriptions or whatever it may be. That's their business. So
making
my dream come true don't really come into play when they...
No, you're all about milking me as much as you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to decide if, like, how much milk I'm trying to give.
How much milk are you trying to give?
And I don't have that much. I'm dry right now. Bitch is on a dry spell.
Well,
I'm
off
season.
I think you deserve to be.
Thank you.
My dear, because, like, I was trying to tell you the other day, I had a day, and, you know, this is going to come out during the consequences of what I did this other day.
Oh.
But whatever. I love everyone that's listening and working with me right now. But there was a day recently where I had a lot to do. And if I didn't do any of it, I wouldn't get into immediate trouble. So I took that day off, okay?
Woo.
And I set up in my room and I played Cities, Skyline, everyone, because I'm a fucking nerd, okay? I played a video game.
Is that?
It doesn't matter, Issa. Do some people enjoy putting a city together and dealing
with the
bureaucratic nightmare of zoning industry
and
commerce all day?
That's what you did
to
remove
sunset. Okay? Till the sunset, all right? I dealt with bureaucratic nightmare after bureaucratic nightmare. I built a subway system.
Is this like the new SimCity?
Yeah.
In Justintown? This is sad. This turned into a really sad story.
I should have had like a train conductor's cap on because I was that kid. I was that dude in the room with his little models. Like, that's what I was doing till sunset.
The fact that I can see it so clearly.
You can. Me hunched over like, See, this should be a three-way street.
This is not how it goes in Justintown.
This highway intersection is a mess. No, it's great. Okay, so it's shout out to City Skylines. So let me tell you what's so cool about this. It actually, like, the traffic in the cities is accurate. It's, like, completely accurate.
So wait, is Justintown based off of, like, L.A.? Or
no.
Is it just in the terms of the population that you have?
It's just, like, so right now my population is, like, and it's, like 100,000, which is a small, big city.
Okay?
Small, big city. But the game can calculate up to 1 million citizens' daily movements. So the traffic buildups in your city are real. Like, it's like what would happen if this was a city. So, like, you can see in real time as you, like, change the streets and stuff, like, your traffic alleviating or, like, getting better.
How is this not like SimCity then?
It is. It is. It's just
but
like
it's just more accurate.
It's like a more modern version of it. And it took a day away from me. And really from you, Lionsgate.
He needed it, Lionsgate.
Because
I bet
so
you
bad.
Came back stronger. And that's my
really.
Thing.
No, not,
you didn't?
No, I was still thinking about wishing I could do that. But I was there.
I dedicate a procrastinating day every single week. Because I just know it's going to happen. And then I feel bad. And I do come back stronger. Like, ooh, I wasted a whole last day. Let me actually do some work. Like, that's going to be me today.
Girl,
this I wasted
Saturday.
Yesterday. I know, but
it's important though because, like, again, I don't know about you, but when I thought maybe I could do this, it was joy is what I thought about. I thought about like how fun it would be to create something and have people see it. And even the hard part, I thought about how fun the hard parts would be, you know. And if it's not fun, I just don't understand why we're doing it. It's not.
So you're not having fun right now?
I just had fun. I am like figuring out how to have fun.
Yeah.
But it is a process and it takes time and effort.
What's your social percentage? Like how often, what's your me time? Your like willingly social time? Not like I have to go to these events.
Yep.
And what's your work?
I would say work is like 70% of the time.
Okay.
Me time is, well, I'm in a relationship too, so that I got to divide the me time.
Yeah, you got it by two.
Yeah, there's like couple time and there's me time. So I would say me time is pretty limited, like just me time. Because when I'm free, like I gotta pour into the relationship, you know, because it's like, that gets a little dry as well when you're at work all day. Not that kind of dry. Stop being nasty. But like, you know, you got to water the garden or whatever. And social-wise, you said, here's the deal. I am an introvert.
You don't go to shit. I don't go to shit. How do you get away with not going to shit?
I go to the shit that I have to go to. Okay. So there are things coming up, for instance, that I have to go to that I will be at. And I'll go like, I'll occasionally like, stop by like a party, like, you know what I mean? But I don't go out like that. I used to do that in my 20s and stuff, but I was gay and in Los Angeles, so that ruined that. So I honestly, when I can be in my house, like,
yes,
that is such
is
a vacation
a
to me.
It is. And that's what I want too. Like, I just want to have a place of just refuge where I'm just like, this is my space and I can't. And I get it. I get, like, it almost, this industry almost makes you more introverted because when you go out, it is
because it's
like,
work.
It's work and everybody wants a piece.
Well, because I also think people want you to keep playing the character that they think you are.
Which I'm curious about. So many people.
But yeah, like the different, like I'm like Issa Rae, Issa D, like different people.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine, especially with this show, people expect one version of you to show up
all the time, and I really do say that I just disappoint people because I'm just like, you know, very stoic, just very like chill and like shy.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna be able to give you what you want.
Yeah,
but I'm always obviously grateful to people that come up to me. I'm just like, sorry, I'm not.
Yeah, but it's just it's awkward because even this version of me that's talking slightly louder and like engaged and excited, I'm not this, of course, all the time. I mean, you know
what
I mean?
Like, you be? It's tiring.
But also, like, it takes a lot of energy to do this, like during, like for hours at a time with several different people, and so like I really do I cherish the alone time, and I think for me the key was about stop beating myself up for being a human being.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I don't know the answer.
Because you also...
Sometimes,
like,
I don't want to do shit.
Nobody
sometimes
cares.
Sometimes I want to cancel.
Yeah. I want to... Oh, my God. The relief with cancellations.
Oh, my God. When people tell me they can't
make
it.
Oh, my God.
And I'm so
sorry.
Oh,
my God.
We have to switch this around.
It's great.
Oh, so-and-so's schedule change. I'm like, oh, my God,
oh,
no.
Oh, that sucks. I was planning my whole day around
God,
it.
It's so great.
So I have to stay home?
Because I get anxious up until an appointment with somebody.
Same.
Like, probably today. You was like, this motherfucker.
No, today was good. Today, I was like, oh, this is what's up. Like, I'm saying no to everything, and this is a highlight. But real shit, like, any other meetings that I have, so much so that now I only do, and this is also to focus on writing, I do meetings 2 days a week, and that's it. Mm-hmm, stack them, done. Don't have
that's
to
smart.
Deal with them.
That's smart.
It's
I just
also,
don't
I'm a woman.
Take meetings. Like, did you go through a period of, like, disillusionment? Like, did you have to, like, catch up to this? Like, that you know, that question of, like, I need to be having more fun. I need to be taking time off. Like, did you have a moment?
Yeah, this past season, actually. This past season was really, really hard, and I think, you know, Prentice, who is the showrunner at Insecure, he's great about being like with the writers room, like, y'all gotta live lives.
Mm.
But we weren't taking that advice. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, you and him? Yeah.
We were not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we didn't get a lot of time off in between seasons.
Yeah.
And we've been going kind of back to back to back for 3 years,
yep.
4 years, really. And so this past season, we just made a lot of changes. We made a lot of choices and decisions. And it was just, and then there's also the comfort of everybody being on a show for 3 years.
Yeah.
So it just felt harder to to pull in every single area. And it was just a lot. And then I was in it more this season than I've been, and I didn't realize that. Because I was like, why am I working every day? Why am I in a scene every day? That didn't happen last time. And it was just creative choices that we made for the story that I didn't realize at the time. So I was like, this isn't fun.
Right.
Like, I didn't have a weekend off, you know?
Oh, yeah. Because when you're doing TV, you kind of work, even when it is cable or Netflix or whatever, you're still working like 7 day weeks.
You're still working 7 day weeks. And also, we weren't making our days sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we still had to come and shoot on certain weekends.
Right.
And obviously editing and things like that. So it was just like, I can't do this for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bring all this up because so many people listening either in the industry or they want to be in the industry, whatever. And it's just to show you, like, it doesn't look the way you think it will. Mm-mm. And you got to know that going into it, because I think, you know, I feel like the generation before us had to be so excellent, had to be so great, and had to want it so fucking bad that they could bleed for it in order to just break through.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God we get to stand on some of those achievements, because we don't have to do it that way anymore. We don't have to be Whitney Houston or Michael Jackson to like break through. Like, we can actually like take some time off.
That's real.
You know, it's like, and it's a new phase where we get to do that. But I think we got to, because, you know, that's what white people been doing. And that's why they get to keep going.
Keep on going. And then even hearing you, like you said, Michael and Whitney and all these people who had to be excellent to break through and who died.
Yes, literally.
Doing it. Like, died in some facet or some
aspect of it killed them.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to maintain, like you said, my soul and my sanity. And I have to, I have to just reckon with.
Because let me tell you something. This third season, y'all leveled up this third season. Whatever it felt like making it, you know, I already dug the show, but y'all took it to places I didn't really know. Honestly, like, I was surprised this season. The storyline surprised me. The places that your character went, like, just I noticed those little changes y'all were making.
Thank you, man.
And it was not, I know that's not easy on a TV show.
Mm-mm.
It's not easy, especially when people get used to the way things are.
Yes, that was my concern.
And I think that the third season is always that kind of precarious season, because if you manage to, like, hit a home run freshman and sophomore year, which y'all did, that third season can get a little lazy.
Right.
Or that can kind of be the start of your show. Like, you know.
That's so true.
Sex and the City is the example. Like, that show becomes a show we all love in the third season. But there's some shows that are only good for one or two seasons.
I was talking about that. Are there any shows that in the last 5 years, I don't want to put you on blast.
Oh, no.
But are there any shows you've maintained for 5 or 6 seasons?
Mad Men was the last time.
Really? So other shows, for the most part, you've fallen off when? Third, fourth season, second season?
Yeah, third or fourth season,
There's some shows that I actually love. Like, Better Call Saul is a show that I love, that I'm 2 seasons behind on, and I know that I'll catch up.
I'm the same way with, like, Game of Thrones. Like, I'm always a season behind on Game of Thrones. Like, always. Like,
I don't know how you manage to avoid spoilers.
I always try to catch up, too, like, right before the new season hits, and yet and still. I think it's because of our production cycle. I'm always working. And so I miss the spoilers. I miss the conversation. I'm also barely on social media these days. So, like, I really can avoid all of that and just kind of watch it. Handmaid's Tale, like, I watched way after the fact, like Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, all the dramas, it takes me a while to watch them.
But are there, do you have time to watch anything up to the minute, or is there anything you make time to watch? Like, BoJack Horseman is one of those things where I'm like, I'll watch this every time it's on.
Big Mouth.
Okay.
For sure. And Rick and Morty.
Okay.
Are my shit.
Okay.
I can watch them at any time. Because
and you've stayed from season one to season.
Yes. Okay. Because they are hilarious, and if you want it to be smart, you can watch it that way. If you want it to be dumb, you can watch it that way. The other thing that I watch the moment it airs is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh my God.
It is the best.
Reality television doesn't count because that's so easy to just watch.
But that show, though, is the best.
I've heard. Shout out to RuPaul.
Shout out to RuPaul. And, yeah, you know what?
Emmy Award winning.
The Housewives. I do them immediately.
Like, I can't.
Won't skip a beat. Like, will not let a minute pass.
Are
like,
you
I gotta
kidding?
Know it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which
Atlanta.
One?
Atlanta. of course, New York, Beverly Hills.
Wow.
And Potomac.
You watch the entire franchise? Oh, Jersey. Oh, you don't watch Jersey.
Jersey and Dallas, I don't
there's
do.
There's a Dallas?
There's a Dallas, bitch. And there's a Melbourne I don't do. There's a few. I feel like I'm praying that there are other ones I don't do because I don't want to believe that I watch all of them. But yeah, I watch those very religiously.
Do you watch What Happens Afterwards, too?
Sometimes. Rick, my boo Rick, be watching Andy. But I'll miss it sometimes.
I can't do it. It's too much. And then I actually feel like I've wasted my time. I'm like, this didn't inspire me.
No, you get nothing from
you
it.
Like,
you
nothing. Just like at you're... least watching television, I can be like, oh, I love what they did here.
Yeah,
let me
no.
think.
But you know what, though? Honestly, I'll spend all day working on a show about race relations and, like, you know what I mean? And, like really trying to dig every, like, human nuance and it's a human condition. I don't want to be enriched when I get home sometimes.
I get that.
Like, sometimes when I go home, I want to be the opposite of enriched. Yeah. I want you to take some of the enrichment away from me because I've been steeping in it all day.
Was there ever a point, do you remember there was this period when we were, like, sick of reality television?
Yes.
Like, sick of
yes.
black women being portrayed yes. in a certain way.
Yes.
And then now that we have all this content, we have all these creators, now there's like a new appreciation for it. Like, even seeing how New York has
uh-huh.
come back
yes.
and been like this.
Tiffany Pollard, New York.
Yes, for yes, the, yes.
For the white people listening.
For the people who don't recognize. like, to see her become this figure and to see even Tanisha from Bad Girls Club, who I love, mm-hmm. like, be like...
I think it's because
when we make of that,
I think because some of us are recognizing that there really is art form is maybe a strong word, but there is a craft adjacent thing to it where it's like New York didn't become New York just because she was the loudest and like no, she crafted a persona. And she knows how to do reality TV well. Like, there's some housewives, like NeNe Leakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason she's NeNe Leakes is because she does being a housewife really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a thing. Like, mm-hmm. the reason I love that franchise is because it's almost like wrestling. It's like, you know it's fake.
Interesting, yeah.
Like, and even the women know it's like, they'll be like, yeah, we're taping together. That's how
mm-hmm.
they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the interactions that happen with them are real. And they're really happening in front of your eyes. But, like... The situation is fake. Like,
right.
they wouldn't normally throw a
right.
party or
mm-hmm.
have you physically come over to talk about some minute detail. Like, that wouldn't actually happen. But they know that when they're there and the camera is on them, some of them know how to play it and some of them don't. And some of them don't know that they're even playing. Some of them think it's real.
Yeah, I really feel bad for them.
And that's what I like to watch. It's like, you know, oh, look at her. She's crafting a scene. And, oh, look at her trying to, like, work her, like, beauty line into this. And,
it's so twisted. Oh, right.
And, oh,
product
and, oh, is she really mad? She don't know this is fake. Like, that's how I watch the show.
You watch the show to... laugh at them. Period.
It's like competitive. To me, it's like it's like competition reality because they're all competing for camera time. Like, some of them
that's
know the
exhausting.
Sweet spot. It is, girl,
that's
but it's not our lives. That's the fun part.
I know. Well, actually, I'm here because I want to promote my reality show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Justin's in it.
First of all, my reality show would be boring as hell because, as we
Same.
Already discussed, I would be sitting at a computer building fictional cities named after myself.
Same.
Till sundown.
Same. I have probably. I love a good house party though. So
yeah.
If I had a reality show, it'd have to be crafted like once a month.
Yeah.
Or once every 2 months around like a, you know.
That would be cute actually. I would watch and come to the house party. All right, y'all. I know it's good, but we'll be right back after a short break.
Thank you for listening to this KCRW podcast. In case you don't know us, KCRW is public radio in Los Angeles, bringing the best of NPR to Southern California. We're also known for our own brand of bold and innovative programming, evocative storytelling, taste-making music, and audio documentaries that are little movies for your ears. You can join our community to support this show and others, or make a one-time donation just to say thank you. Find out more at kcrw.com/join.
Issa, what is making you mad right now? Like, you know, this is a show about, like, Don't At Me is all about getting to finally talk about the things that you normally don't get to talk about on interview shows. Like, it could be industry, it could be music, it could be whatever. Like, what are you ranting about these days? Like, what's pissing you off?
What's pissing me off right now at this very moment
is the lack of food for you.
For sure. That's okay. Always pissing okay. me off.
Would you like some of my Starbucks oatmeal? They put craisins in it for some reason.
No, didn't you eat all of it?
I did. I had a couple bites because I felt like I'm like eating in front of Issa like mid-conversation. Like, let me calm
down. I really appreciate it. It actually brought me comfort.
Oh,
it did.
Okay, great. Let's finish this then. What were you going to say?
I guess personally, I'm pissed off about the burden of representation.
Ooh, talk to it.
The burden to have to do all as a Black creator, tackle every aspect
of
the diaspora without room for experimentation or failure.
Yeah.
Or just simple curiosity.
I feel that.
And I think across the board in seeing so many of my peers and seeing my work, there's a rush often to put us in a category as if you know, that's frustrating. And that's something that I'm kind of dealing with across the board with Black work and Black art.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because, like, you know, we talked about I'm sure you know about the Wesley Morris
article or whatever. Yes.
And it's funny because y'all are arguing the same point in different ways. Which is hilarious. But it's like, you know, he has some shade for the show. Somebody couldn't take it or whatever. And then they got into this fight about, like, can we even talk about Insecure in this manner when it means so much to people?
You could talk about whatever the fuck you want.
And that's what I love about what you're saying. And I knew that's how I felt in my heart. That's how you felt about it. Because it was like, I mean, listen, Dear White People gets all kind of crazy ass things. Like, do you know how many articles are named The Problem with Dear White People, though?
God.
Or like, why Dear, like from a Black person, why Dear White People is actually racist, though? Because, you know, it's there's a bit of a cottage industry around our shows. Politically commenting on the shows and politically commenting on what the shows are doing in the world, regardless of the art or the story or how much you enjoyed it or any of that.
Right.
It's just like, is it right for no one to have condoms or whatever it may be?
And it's let a bitch live. Don't at me, let a bitch live.
I think that's where we're getting to, though. You know, it's got to be more of us.
And that's what's at least happening. But I was naive in coming, I think, starting the show and feeling like, oh, nobody's going, like, there's so much, like, Ava out here, Justin out here, Lena out here, like, everybody, Donald out here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be so much, so no one will foolishly think that, like, a show about Black women has to represent all Black
women.
Oh,
girl, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was naive. I was
welcome
like, people.
Welcome to America. Okay. Well, that's the thing, because we put our hopes and dreams on our celebrities. Like, when we see a Black person
shine. There's so many celebrities.
I know, but when we see, but see, that's the thing. There's so many of us that haven't been represented forever. So you put a show in the air that's an authentic take on Black women. Well, then all the women who have not had an authentic take on their version of Black womanhood are mad.
Which I can't be.
It's not theirs because they've been waiting for theirs for so long. And that part of it is justified. Like, we all been waiting.
Well, you know what? This is how I calm myself down is because I was that bitch. Like, five, 7 years ago.
I was too.
Going in on any movie that I felt or any television show that I felt like did not accurate. It's like, why is this always the section of Blackness that's represented in mainstream media? Like, why is it this? And talking my shit online and making blog posts and not really taking the time to just be like, this person probably had their own, like, this person had to go through length to get into the door. And so the fuck what? That's the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah. And it's also not, like, possible. Like, it's not only is it not your job to tell everybody's story, but it's, like, it's actually not possible.
Yeah.
Like, once you start down a certain road, like, there are factors that control the show that comes out that are literally not changeable. Like, you can't change the, like, amount of money or time or sometimes, like, even, like, the casting process. Like, you only have so much control over every detail of a thing. And even if you wanted to do something that spoke to everybody, like, it wouldn't be possible within the structure.
That's the real shit.
But yet and still, y'all be expecting it. So we're going to keep trying. But I think
I'm not gonna try.
You know what makes me feel better about it though, for real, is I'll just read some James Baldwin. But also, like, I mean, they went through this every time there's been a renaissance, they've gone through this.
Yep.
Including the Harlem Renaissance.
Yep.
Like every single time. It's like black people were mad, white people are intrigued, but also mad. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like it's a perfect storm every time one of us dares to like say something.
So real.
You know, but I'm happy that you are taking some time and taking some self-care.
Me too. Hello.
Because, listen, we need our Issa, honey. We need her voice. We do.
Okay.
You know, so
just because you said that.
Because of what we need, you're going to have to just go ahead. And
you're so considerate, Justin. Thank you.
I got to thank our producers, Gina Delvac and Kara Hart, our production engineers, Garrett Lang, Chuck Privateri. Special thanks to Vishnu Vallabhaneni, head of programming, Quinn O'Toole. Chris Bowers created our theme song. This is Don't At Me with Justin Simmons. If you like that, all the S's I added to my name, that is, please subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave a review. I want to hear from you. Eason wants to hear from you.
I do.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Don't At Me from the one and only KCRW. Thank you, Eason.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.